Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimak. It is Friday, February the 5th. Today on the program, first of all, I'm glad you were here. Just pull up a chair. I got a chair right here for you. Hope you got a beverage. Hope you got a snack. Because today on the show, we're going to be talking about one of the most comforting Bible verses that I have ever encountered. You know, we all have our favorite verses. I've got my go-to verses. And I would bet that if you're somebody who reads the Bible, you've got your favorite verses. You know the ones I mean, the ones that bring you comfort when you're feeling down. Now, we're all going to have different ones because the Holy Spirit, I think, works differently in each of us. And certain Bible verses just really, really hit home more than others do, I think, and bring comfort more than others do. But this one is, I would bet, if you're aware of it, I would be willing to bet this one would be on your list of the favorite, most comforting Bible verses in your repertoire. So that's what we're going to talk about on this show as we bring the week to a close. Now, I'm looking outside. It's a beautiful, sunny, somewhat warm day. I don't know what the temperature is, in the 40s maybe, which in the Northeast this time of year is pretty good. Beautiful day. Took a walk with Eileen earlier. The sun's shining, the snow is melting, and now I'm hearing there's another storm on the way on Sunday. So can I say that I just want to make it through the next couple of months until it starts to get warm again? Oh, man. I know God brings all different kinds of weather. I am really trying. I honestly am. But, man, I have a hard time with the cold weather, especially snow. It just can be so inconvenient at times. But nonetheless, I'm blessed to be in a nice warm house. I'm blessed to be able to hang out with you for the remainder of the program. We're going to open our Bible and take a look at what I feel is a very comforting verse. We're actually going to look at the full first reading from today's Daily Mass. And also, if I have time, the responsorial psalm. So we're going to look at more than just one verse because this verse that I'm talking about comes at the tail end of the passage used for the first reading for today's Mass. So get situated, get ready. Why don't we pray now? Let's turn to our Father in heaven who is waiting to hear from you. You know, before we do that, I want to share something with you. I was watching a music performance, a Christian music performance the other day. And, you know, I don't remember who said this because I watch a lot of Christian music performances. And whoever it was who said it, they started their song and they said, I just love this, and it really leads into our prayer. And the person doing this said, not only does God love you, but God likes you. Isn't that cool? God likes you. And there's a big difference. You know, love is a choice. Love is an action, a decision. But like is more. It's not more powerful, but it has a whole different meaning. You know, God just likes spending time with us. And with all of my faults, I find that to be just such a powerful statement. And I'm so grateful that he likes me. You know, so, and he likes you too. So why don't we check in with our Heavenly Father? Because he just can't wait for us to begin spending some time with him. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, I just find it so comforting to know that you like spending time with me. You created me, you created all of us out of nothing. You designed us cell by cell, put us together, knitted us together in our mother's womb and created us out of nothing so that we could enter into a relationship with you. Father, as we turn to you in prayer now, we recognize your love for us. We recognize your presence among us. We recognize the fact that you hear every word we're saying. We recognize the fact that you are all-powerful. So, Father, we praise you. We worship you. All glory and honor is yours. You are Almighty God. You have always existed. You always will exist. And we get to call you Father. That is just amazing. Father, we thank you for loving us into existence. We thank you for the relationship that we have with you. We ask you, Father, to continue to draw us closer to yourself. We pray for your grace to allow us to meet whatever challenges we face for the remainder of today and for the weekend. We ask you, Father, to allow us to recognize your presence in all that happens to us, in everyone we meet. We pray, Father, for our family, for our friends. We pray for our own needs. We ask you, Father, to give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day what we need, Father. We pray that you use us as your instruments. Please let us know how we can share you with those around us. Father, we pray for our country. We pray for the world. We pray for those in leadership positions in our government. We pray for our church. And we pray, Father, today for a special outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Please give me the words for this program. Give me the words. And please open all of our hearts and all of our minds to be receptive to your message. Father, I'm going to ask you to surprise me today with a message. I have an idea what I'm supposed to talk about, but I ask you through your Spirit to give me something today on the program which is going to catch me by surprise because I won't know where it comes from. I know you can do that. I want a new message today, something spontaneous that really touches those listening today. Father, I ask this in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Surprise me, right? That's pretty risky. I don't know what I'm going to say, but I'm excited. You know, here's the thing. It is very easy when we pray to forget that we're talking to someone very special. You're talking to the Father, you're talking to Jesus, you're talking to the Holy Spirit. This is God. And because we can't see God, and because we have a million distractions around us, in our heads, wherever, it's easy to lose sight. So I think it's important to really pause sometimes, to pause and remember that this is special. This is a special time. And if you notice, I force myself to do that because I'm very prone to distractions and daydreaming. I do it a lot. But anyway, I just think it's so awesome that we get to talk to Almighty God. I think it's awesome that I get to speak with you, too. So, again, thanks for hanging out. I tell you all the time, but I don't think you really understand. You're never going to know what's inside of me. But you don't know how special you are to me, that you spend this time hanging out with me. I am so grateful. I am so grateful. And I pray for you every day. And I know you pray for me and for my family, and we all appreciate that very much. You are listening to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. We come to you every Monday through Friday for 30 minutes each day. Also want to remind you that my weekly program, my weekly podcast, The Gary Zimak Show, is now available for this week. You could pick it up probably where you got this podcast from, and we'll look at the Sunday Mass reading. So we got a couple Sundays to go before we head into the Lenten season, but you can check out that podcast now. If you have any problems, just go to my website, followingthetruth.com, for more information about how you can get that show. The other thing is, worry for Lent. It's going to be happening very soon. Begins on February the 17th, so stay tuned for more information on that. I'm going to be all over the place with that. Besides the book, the Give Up Worry for Lent, every day you can find me on Facebook, on the Give Up Worry for Lent Facebook page. You can read some reflections in my daily email, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. You'll hear the message on this podcast. We'll talk about some other things too, but primarily you will hear the Give Up Worry for Lent message on this podcast. Sunrise Morning Show. We're gonna go to Give Up Worry for Lent every Wednesday at 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time, beginning on February the 17th on Ash Wednesday. We start that, and I'm also gonna try. I'm working on a few other things for some other national radio shows as well, so that we really get this Give Up Worry for Lent movement going. The book is selling well again, number one on Amazon again today. And I'm just so grateful that the Lord is blessing this effort. And I really, every year, I want to bring more and more people on board with Give Up Worry for Lent. The book is currently still available, so if you know somebody who might want to participate, make sure you send them a link, go to Amazon or go to my website and pick up a copy of Give Up Worry for Lent while it's still available. Judging by the sales numbers, I'm looking, what happened last year is happening again this year. It was number one last year. It's number one now. Amazon is going to run out at some point, and Ave Maria Press will probably run out at some point. That's where the book comes from. So if you want to get it, I recommend that you do so now. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go for more information. Okay, so at the start of the show, I talked about this great Bible verse. I want to share the entire first reading from today's Mass. It's from the letter to the Hebrews. Some good stuff in the letter to the Hebrews. And then we'll go into that verse I'm talking about. Then we'll look at the responsorial psalm because it's really, really good, and it follows that same theme. So the first reading is from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect hospitality, for through it some have unknowingly entertained angels. You know, this is a good reminder for us, and this isn't the verse I'm talking about. I'll let you know when we get to that verse. But boy, is this a good reminder. Do not neglect hospitality. You know, serving food, doing the dishes, other chores in the house. You don't even have to leave your house to be serving God through the serving of others. This is big stuff. This is really, really, really big. And like so many of the aspects of the spiritual life, right, it's easy to overlook. Because we often have that tendency, and I'm really guilty of this, of wanting to do the big things. And we want to serve God in the way that we decide that we're supposed to serve Him. Well, Lord, I'm not supposed to serve You by just doing the dishes. That's small potatoes. I want to do big things. I want to be a missionary. I want to travel to another country. And a lot of times, more often than not, to be honest, God wants us to serve Him in our current situation, whatever that may be. You know, serve Him where you are. And we always tend to look down on the menial or the unimportant. You know, it's a tendency we have. Like, oh, I got to do better than just cleaning the bathrooms. Mother Teresa, when she used to travel, I've heard that the job she always wanted to do was to clean the bathrooms. Because in doing so, it was a job that nobody wanted to do. And it was her way of loving God through loving other people. So just think about that. It's not very glamorous sometimes to do household chores or just to be nice to the people in your house. But yet it's so powerful to do that. Do not neglect hospitality. Okay. It's a good reading. It's good. And I didn't even get to the point where I wanted to really start talking about. Be mindful of prisoners as if sharing their imprisonment, and of the ill-treated as of yourselves. For you are also in the body. Now, it's a good reminder to pray for those in captivity, prisoners, people who are confined to nursing homes or hospitals or rehab centers or persecuted Christians around the world. You know, I pray for these people every day because they're imprisoned, they're captive. And, you know, on a related note, one of the spiritual works of mercy, corporal works of mercy is to visit the imprisoned, visit the hospitalized, those in nursing homes. Maybe somebody you know is a shut-in. Maybe you can get involved in visiting them. You are visiting Jesus when you do this. You know, it's big stuff. But again, it's not often glamorous. And sometimes it's really easy to overlook that kind of thing. Let marriage be honored among all, and the marriage bed be kept undefiled. For God will judge the immoral and adulterers. A good reminder for those of us who are married, you know, we live in an age where a lot is overlooked. And there is, sadly, a lot of There seems to be a lack of fidelity in marriages and family life. It's just an important reminder for us. It's really important. It's really important to, and God blesses us and puts us in situations, those of us who are married, and he gives us an opportunity to love in a way that I never had any idea. When Eileen and I were getting married, we were all lovey-dovey, and you know, we still are, but some of that over the years, it changes. It's a deeper love now. It's a more serious love. We've been through a lot together, ups and downs, good times, bad times. I mean, some of the bad times were things I wouldn't have expected. When you're first getting married, it's all, everything's glamorous and you're in that honeymoon stage. And I still love her so much. And we're each other's best friends. I mean, that there is no doubt about that. But we've been through some stuff. And sometimes, man, you don't feel like loving the other person. And I know Eileen would say the same thing. But it's a real great opportunity to love Jesus and love as he loved if you're someone who is married. It's sometimes the little things. You know, we're headed up, coming up on Valentine's Day. Sometimes it's the little things that really mean the most to your spouse. I like this. Let your life be free from love of money. Love of money. But be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never forsake you or abandon you. Thus we may say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, and I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Now, this is a reference to the psalm that we're going to take a look at in a minute, Psalm 27. But that's a great message. Let your life be free from love of money. Not free from money. There's nothing wrong with money, but love of money becomes a problem. And be content with what you have. No matter how much money you have or how little money you have the opportunity to be not content with what you have. I mean, there are poor people who are greedy. There are rich people who are generous and who are very content and very grateful. So it's not necessarily how much or how little you have. It's your attitude toward that. The reminder is, Jesus told us that the Father would provide for our needs. Do we believe it? Do we believe him? And that's where the contentment and the gratitude comes in. I was paying some bills today, and it's tough. But, you know, this pandemic has taken a toll on me and many people who are in full-time ministry because we can't speak anymore. We can't book the speaking engagement. So we're really losing a lot of money, and it's really, really difficult. And I'm looking at what I can pay, what bill I can pay, when I can pay it. But God is providing for our needs. But it's scary sometimes, and it's easy to fall into not trusting him. But he wants us to trust him. He still wants us to do what we can. You know, even as somebody like me who's in full-time ministry, I've got to find ways to do my best to provide for the needs of my family. But it gets challenging sometimes. Okay. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. You know, you think back to the early Christian church, and we got some incredible examples of people who were putting it all on the line for Jesus, who were trusting him, even when it didn't look good, even when their very lives were on the line. Are we inspired, or do we try to put into practice the zeal that they have for Christ? Are we really willing to go out there and put it on the line and share Jesus with others, even if it's going to make us look foolish or people will push back? Are we willing to do it? Are we willing to endure the persecution, whatever persecution that comes along with being a Christian? You know, are we imitating those in the early church? A lot of times the answer is no, right? Okay, here's the line. Here's the verse that I wanted to talk about. It's the very last verse of this Bible passage. It's Hebrews 13, verse 8. I quote it often. Ready? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. He doesn't change. So that means when we look through the Gospels and we read about Jesus healing the sick, driving out demons, spreading the good news, performing miracles, whatever he did, anything you look and read that he did in the gospel, he is still capable of doing today. Why? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So therefore, like with Peter, it would be possible for you to walk on water with the help of Jesus if that's what he's calling you to do. Do you believe that? Is your faith that strong? Here's what I would say. Take that line, that verse, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Write it down, bookmark it in your Bible, post it somewhere, and read it often. And when you have a crisis, you might have a crisis right now in your life. You might be dealing with something very difficult. Again, I paid the bills today. I'm dealing with something right now that's challenging. I need to read this. Because you remember there was a time when Jesus and Peter had to pay the temple tax. And Peter didn't have the money. And Jesus sent him down and said, you'll find a fish and there will be a coin in the fish's mouth and you'll have the money. And it all worked out. I need to read this today and remind myself that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, so that when I struggle, when I'm struggling to pay the bills, I'm doing what I can, but I'm also going to turn to Jesus and ask him for help and believe that because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he can help me. And the same goes for you if you have a medical condition or if somebody in your family is struggling or sick. Pray for their healing. Bring them to Jesus, expecting him to be able to heal them. Now, he's going to heal in the best way possible. We can't tell Jesus how to heal somebody. Sometimes the physical healing is not the best thing at that moment in time, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't ask for it. So whatever you're struggling with, you can't overcome the same sin you committed over and over and over and over again. Bring it to Jesus and expect him to help you. Heck, he drove demons out all over the place. He could drive whatever is in you that's causing you to commit that habitual sin out. He could do it because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But you got to let this verse speak to you over and over and over. You know, that's how the Holy Spirit works. He works through verses like this. This is the inspired word of God that we're reading. But it's so easy to forget that Jesus is the same. Because so many times we think, well, if only I lived when he walked the face of the earth, if I lived in Palestine 2,000 years ago, I'd be able to go up to him. He'd be able to console me. Well, we can open the Bible and let him console us. If you need peace, let him say to you, peace I give you, my peace I leave with you. Let not your heart be troubled. You know, these are messages from Jesus that we can find in the Bible, that when we read them, he speaks them to us today in 2021. Why? Because he's the same. He's not dead. He's alive. He has not changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And let's lead into the responsorial psalm. It's from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. He's alive. He's here. He can be the light shining in your darkness. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is my life's refuge. Of whom should I be afraid? The answer to both of those questions is nobody. I shouldn't be afraid because the Lord is with me. It's not like he was with people 2,000 years ago. He was. But he's with you and me today. Though an army encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war will be waged upon me, even then will I trust. Why? Not because I'm powerful. When the odds are against me, when everything's looking gloomy and doomy. I just made up. When there's a lot of gloom and doom, so therefore it's looking gloomy and doomy. But why aren't we afraid? Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his word spoken to his followers before he ascended into heaven, I will be with you always. That's a promise to each one of us. He's not going anywhere. He's with you right now. For he will hide me in his abode in the day of trouble. He will conceal me in the shelter of his tent. He will set me high upon a rock. Your presence, O Lord, I seek. Hide not your face from me. Do not in anger repel your servant. You are my helper. Cast me not off. If you seek the Lord's presence, you're going to find the Lord's presence because he is with you. You just got to do a little seeking and you will find. He said that too. So Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. I don't think I could give you a better verse than that one. Just don't forget that. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Put that somewhere. And as you go through the weekend, just keep telling yourself, repeat it often. And let the Holy Spirit really speak those words to your heart and you will feel differently. Okay, I am just about out of time. I want to thank you for joining me today and for this week. We wrap up another week. God willing, I look forward to being back with you here again on Monday as we move closer and closer to Lent. Give up worry for Lent. That's going to be the theme in the not too distant future. Before I go, just if you're able to consider becoming a monthly sponsor of my ministry, I would really, really, really appreciate it, and I really could use something today if you're able to do it. Followingthetruth.com, just click on donate, and you get yourself set up securely with PayPal. If you're not able to contribute monthly, and you can make a one-time donation, that would help me as well. You do all of that by going to followingthetruth.com. And click on donate. And I would ask you, you know, I hate to talk about money. It's not easy, but it's really becoming a critical need for me. So I would strongly ask you to consider becoming a sponsor of my work so that I can continue to move forward with my ministry and provide for my family. I would appreciate that. Thank you. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go to do that. But nonetheless, I'm going to trust in God's providence and that he will work through you to get me what I need. And I just hope you have a fantastic weekend. I'm going to be praying for you all weekend. And again, you would really help me if you would pray for me and my family as well. We could really use the prayers. Remember, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And he's going to be the same Monday. When I hope to join you again on Following the Truth. See you now. Talk to you next time.